Hello and welcome to Generation Justice. I'm Polly Dineklaw.
And I'm Jason Fuller. We are broadcasting from the University of New Mexico, KUNM, 89.9 FM, news and music that connect.
Generation Justice is a multimedia project that trains youth between the ages of 13 and 25 to create media that is committed to inspiring social change.
Tonight's show will feature members of the New Mexico Coalition for Equity and Justice. We will be speaking with them about possible solutions for the depleting lottery scholarship fund and how some of the options being presented will reduce educational opportunities for disadvantaged students.
Then we'll head to the legislature and hear directly from young people about what they want their elected officials to focus on this year.
We're featuring a number of songs from the late Pete Seeger. We'll talk about him and his music later on in the show.
Now we'll play his song, What Did You Learn in School Today?
What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned that Washington never told a lie. I learned that soldiers seldom die. I learned that everybody's free, and that's what the teacher said to me. That's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school.
Speaking of learning, New Mexico is home to 25 institutions of higher learning, serving more than 85,000 undergraduate students.
If it was not for the New Mexico Lottery Scholarship, many of these students would not be able to attend college at all.
However, the lottery scholarship is running out. The fear is that it will run out by this spring. For the past 2 years, this has been a hot topic during the New Mexico legislative session. In all of the heated discussions, many of these proposed strategies for sustainability would make access to college even more difficult for the people who need it the most.
The New Mexico Coalition for Equity and Justice is working to keep the lottery scholarship available for students who come from underserved and low-income families.
As the legislature grapples with this problem, there have been proposed changes to the eligibility requirements to obtain the lottery scholarship.
Our very own George Luna Pena spoke with Virginia Necochea, Jorge Garcia, and Sonora Rodriguez from the New Mexico Coalition for Equity and Justice.
Thank you. My name is George Luna Pena. Historically, it's been no secret that students from underserved or low-income communities have continued to face multiple barriers in regards to accessing institutions of higher education. One such barrier involves paying for school. Since 1996, the state of New Mexico has provided funds from lottery profits to help students who meet certain requirements pay for tuition. Now, with New Mexico's legislative lottery scholarship fund under financial pressures, those requirements might be changing. As well, the University of New Mexico made changes to the requirement for its Bridge to Success scholarship, which helps first-semester New Mexican students pay for tuition. My guests today represent the New Mexico Coalition for Equity and Justice, and they're here for a conversation on the goals of their organization, which include educational access and equity, transparency, justice, and inclusion. Jorge, Virginia, Sonora, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
So could we maybe start with introductions, and maybe, Virginia, we can start with you.
Mm-hmm. My name is Virginia Necochea, and I am a teacher of over 15 years. I am a mom of four kids and a danzante Azteca.
Great, thank you.
My name is Jorge Garcia. I'm married to Virginia, so I add all of that to my introduction. I'm also president of the Center for Social Sustainable Systems, and I'm part of the UNM team.
Great.
Hey, hi, I'm Sonora Rodriguez. I'm a senior here at the university, studying international studies in Spanish, and thank you for having me.
Again, welcome to all of you guys.
Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about the New Mexico Coalition for Equity and Justice. Could you guys maybe talk a little bit about the organization, its goals, its background, history, and so forth?
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't have a large amount of history yet. We actually are an organization that came into being last semester. And what pushed the development of this organization is everything that was happening with the Bridge Scholarship at UNM just this last semester, like I said. And what motivated us to do this is because many of us found out at the university who work with underrepresented students and low-income students, we found out through a Facebook post that the university had made changes to the Bridge Scholarship without informing any of the programs or leaders or anybody really involved with working with students. And so we found out about this Facebook post at the exact time that the Latino Summit was going on. And so a lot of the people who work with underrepresented communities were already at this event. And so we were able to dialogue quickly about what was happening. And we decided that we needed to act on this now and mobilize. And we decided to form a coalition that represented, you know, many organizations and many different interests in this issue of educational opportunity to basically defend the right that we have to education. And so, and I don't know if you know, like what happened with the bridge is that they changed the requirements. And it was originally a 2.5 GPA with no ACT requirement. And the university changed it from a 2.5 GPA to a 3.0 with, and that's the very important thing to emphasize, with an ACT requirement of a 23. The national ACT score is at about a 19. And so you could see the discrepancy between, you know, what they increased it to and what, like, national levels are.
Right. And just to be clear, there was no ACT requirement
there
beforehand.
There was no
right?
ACT requirement to begin with. And, you know, our communities, we care about education. We always have, right? And so it's symbolic that we're tired and that we need to organize ourselves to, you know, make sure that our students and our communities have educational opportunities.
Right. And we're obviously going to talk a lot about educational opportunities because mm-hmm. that's sort of the impetus of how your coalition came about. And we'll talk about the lottery scholarship in a bit. Mm-hmm. But are there other issues that you guys are also concerned with that you, as a coalition, are interested in?
For now, I think our biggest focus is educational opportunity. I mean, that's basically our focus is education.
Okay.
Right. And right now we're specifically looking at access to higher education.
Let's talk a little bit about the lottery scholarship then. What exactly, for folks that may not be familiar with it, what exactly is happening right now with the lottery scholarship, and how does your coalition, what's sort of your stance on that?
So one issue is the fact that there is not enough funding. There has to be new funding appropriated. Mm-hmm. But I think that actually opened the door for us to better understand and introduce a few other issues that need to be on the forefront. And one of it is obviously access. Who is coming to the university, who is benefiting from the funds available, and transparency. How are decisions being made, especially decisions that affect our students? Last year, before this whole issue of the Bridge Scholarship, some of the student leadership at UNM had already decided to support an increase in the GPA and measures to make the lottery scholarship solvent. But a lot of that went without actually making an extra effort to consult as many people, families, communities that will be affected by any decisions that student leadership at UNM was making. And then the decisions that the university took at the Bridge Scholarship just came to bring us face to face to very harsh realities in terms of how is UNM actually going out there and making sure, as a public institution, making sure that everybody has a say, and that all of those who will be affected would actually have a say on how decisions are made, and how administrators and student leaders speak on behalf of the rest of the population at UNM.
Mm-hmm. Right, so it's definitely an issue of mm-hmm. accountability and transparency. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think earlier when Virginia mm-hmm. was talking, it seemed clear mm-hmm. that there was a lack of transparency.
That's right.
Sonata, you're a student. How do you think this issue affects students and communities in New Mexico?
Well, I think it's a huge issue of transparency. I didn't find out about it until a couple friends told me. And it really pulled some heartstrings for me because as a student, if these requirements for the bridge had taken place when I was a senior, I wouldn't be able to attend the university. And now I realize how important education is, finishing up my last semester here and really being an advocate for, younger generations and having this funding for them.
So we're talking about the lottery scholarship. Could we maybe for folks that aren't familiar with it, could we just say exactly what the lottery scholarship is?
Yeah, so the lottery scholarship are monies that are available for students who will be attending like a two-year or four-year institution in our state. And it's a very, they're very accessible funds because the GPA has remained at a 2.5. And to be considered full-time, it's only 12 hours. So it actually makes it accessible to communities across our state. You know, it's important that families realize how vital the lottery scholarship is, because many families that are lower income and middle income bracket who don't have, you know, money, like disposable money, they don't have $20,000 in their bank accounts. This is how we send our children to college in New Mexico. This is, you know, these are the monies that we rely on to provide that educational opportunity to our kids. And it's going to impact underserved and low-income communities. And one of the arguments that has come out is, well, are you saying that students of color in low-income communities cannot score, you know, above a 2.5 GPA, or they can't, you know, handle 15 hours or more? And that's not what we're saying at all. What we're saying is that every single New Mexican student deserves a shot, you know, to higher education. But the unfortunate reality is that if you look at the statistics, when you cut from like the more vulnerable, is that they end up being students of color and lower income students. And so it's not saying that they can't, our students can't. It's just saying that we have to make sure that when plans are proposed, that they don't hit the most vulnerable communities in our state. And the other very huge contradictory fact is that, you know, who are the folks that generate the revenues for lottery sales? I mean, we need to stop and really think about that one question. So who are the communities that are actually creating revenues for lottery sales? And I think in New Mexico, you know, an official study hasn't been undertaken, but in Florida, for example, and Texas, they've actually had official studies that show a direct correlation between lottery sales revenues and lower income underrepresented communities. And so the lottery sales are generated by lower income communities. And so to me, if that's the case, then shouldn't it stand to reason that the children of lower income communities should be the greatest beneficiaries of the lottery scholarship? And unfortunately, the statistics show us that they are not. Mm-hmm. They are not the greatest beneficiaries of the lottery scholarship. And that's why we're here advocating mm-hmm. for them and for our, you know, own children.
Mm-hmm. I think that one of the main problems is with some of the notions that have been coming out in terms of making accessibility based on merit base, right? So merit base, those who have the greatest chances to survive through the systems, and some of the numbers that we've seen floating out there is that, well, families who make $60,000 or more are the ones who have shown statistically to actually retain the lottery scholarship to graduate. And whereas we can actually understand families that make $60,000 or more are middle class, perhaps educated, have greater chances to contribute to the educational system, that doesn't mean the families who make less than $60,000 are not interested in education. And we shouldn't use that as a reason to basically close the door on these students just because statistically they show that they're not graduating. One of the facts about students that drop out from the comments they have made, and this public information, is that they leave because their finances don't allow them to stay. I guess education is too expensive. They have to work. They have family issues. So not all families go through the same, have the same experience. And we really have to, especially here in New Mexico, we have to make an extra effort to support underserved, low-income students, not close the door on them. And that's the reason why we were organizing it, because this is a trend that we saw happening. Instead of help them out, basically close the door. The University of New Mexico, as well as the rest of the institutions, should be creating and putting resources into special programs that allow for those underserved students to succeed.
Right. And I think when it's framed in the way that you guys are framing mm-hmm. it, in that sort of way, in terms of equitable opportunities, it really mm-hmm. does become an issue of justice, which mm-hmm. I think a lot of folks sometimes miss. Mm-hmm. But So with the legislative session, mm-hmm. you know, happening right now, mm-hmm. are there any sort of bills out there, or what should folks look out for in terms mm-hmm. of the lottery scholarship?
There are lottery bills that will be introduced. I think there were a couple that were introduced last night. I still haven't been able to check online the details, you know, in regards to those. But we know that there are bills that are going to propose to increase the GPA to a 2.75 and increase course load to 15 hours. And so it's very important that our community stay on top of those bills that are being introduced. You know, keep watching them as they're moving through the system, through the process. But especially what we can do is to let our legislators know, right? Let our representatives know how we feel about the lottery scholarship, because supportive legislators have actually told us that every day that there's students or people who do have social resources, economic resources, they're there advocating, but not for us. They're advocating for these increases in GPA, advocating for increases in course loads. And there's the dangerous perception that's been put out there that it's a student-led front to actually do, you know, increase GPA and course load. And that's one thing that's actually that we've been trying to keep on top of, and that's what we're trying to counter. Not all students across the state are in favor of increasing GPA. They're not in favor of increasing course load, you know. And so what we need to do is let our legislators know, write them a personalized message, a personalized email, even a personal phone call of, you know, how the lottery scholarship has helped our own families, and or how it's going to help our family. Jorge and I are in that situation. We have four mm-hmm. children. And so I know that we're going to rely on the lottery scholarship to help us put our, you know, our children through college. We don't have, you know, those, you know, huge funds right. to be able to pay for our children's education, even as professionals. And that's what people need to understand, mm-hmm. right? It's even, you know, professionals who are, we don't have a lot of economic resources, right? The other thing that we actually try to launch is a social media campaign through our Facebook page, and we're asking our youth, we're asking our, especially high school students, our teachers, counselors, parents, to actually do a little recording, or maybe they can write a statement on a piece of paper, take a picture of something they want to tell the legislators about how they feel regarding the lottery scholarship. And I am very, very excited that it's actually getting some notice by our, you know, communities and, mm-hmm. and people.
And the argument that we're making is that, number one, there is a human component to this, and it's not just about numbers. It's not just about the fact that 2.5, 2.75 is not a lot. It is a lot, and there's a lot of people who will be affected, and we need to think about those people. Mm-hmm. And so we're really emphasizing the fact that there are faces, names, communities, and for the most part, underserved communities in New Mexico getting affected by that. And we really want to emphasize that.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think likewise with mm-hmm. the course load increase. I mean, 15 yes. credits yes. is only a 3-credit increase. But so it might not sound like a lot. But mm-hmm. for, the, you know, there's some real, for folks who are dealing with some sort of serious material mm-hmm. circumstances where, you know, maybe you have 12 units, but you also have to have a job. You also yes, have other exactly. responsibilities.
Well, thank you so much difference. For acknowledging that. I struggled with that as a student. You know, now I'm a senior, but I think with the 15-credit hour increase and the GPA increase, it's really unrealistic, especially if you do have to work and support your family. You know, your job isn't not only to be a student, but also to work for money. And I just think it's really important to highlight that. And I think as you get into your higher level division courses and your major, your GPA really does excel because you're loving what you're learning. But, you know, those first 2 years are really challenging. And I think I can speak for a lot of college students is that, you know, it's a transition period and we're not really sure how to navigate such a huge university. And we really don't know what resources are out there. But by increasing, you know, the GPA and the course load is really detrimental to the students. I really believe so. And I think we really need to be aware of that.
So could we talk a little bit about the Lottery Scholarship Advocacy Day that you all are hosting. It's on February 7th. Do you want to talk just a little bit more about that? Mm-hmm.
And so one of the ideas that we had to try to raise consciousness regarding this issue is to actually organize a Lottery Scholarship Advocacy Day, and that will be next week. And we decided to have it on the same day as Anti-Racism Day, which again, next week, February 7th. And it's very powerful that these two things are happening on the same day, because the way I see it, when it boils down to, you know, the real problem, the reality is that we're dealing with the racist educational system. And that's something that a lot of people try to, you know, sweep under the rug or say that's a thing of the past, but it's not. And even though, you know, it's post-Brown versus Board, post-civil rights movements, we are still dealing with the messy aftermath of a severely discriminatory social system in our nation. And so that's going to be a very powerful collaboration. And so that's happening next week. And we're just trying to get the word out there, because we actually just decided to have this about maybe less than 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And so we're reaching out to other organizations to spread the word about this day. And what we're trying to do is actually organize an advocacy effort in the morning. So from about 9:30 till about 11, we're going to have some groups go visit legislators, key legislators, to talk to them about the importance of the lottery scholarship, but not just, you know, say that it's important to us, but we also want to give them the statistics. And so we're going to put together, a page that actually has a lot of those stats on there and research that people can't deny, right, when we're making, when we're talking about this issue. And so we'll have that. The press conference is at 11, where we'll have students and parents speak about the importance of the lottery scholarship. And there will also be legislators who are supportive that will speak about this issue then. And we're just hoping to get as many people there because, again, like I said earlier, it's going to be symbolic of our community coming together across the state, not just Albuquerque, not just Santa Fe, but across the state, a mobilization effort for us to send the message loud and clear that we care about education and we will fight to the very end to defend the right of our families to have access to a higher education.
Just to reiterate, you guys are having the Lottery Day Scholarship, mm-hmm. Or the Lottery Scholarship Day Advocacy Day, mm-hmm. I should say, on February 7th.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then for folks that maybe can't make it up that day, you also have a social media mm-hmm. campaign.
Yes.
And how can folks find you?
On our Facebook page, and they New Mexico Coalition for Equity and Justice. So that's how they can find us.
Great. And so I guess before we wrap up, does anybody else want to add any other closing remarks?
Yes, I want to say that because I've been asked that, why am I causing so much trouble? why am I devoting all this time to this issue? To me, this is such an important issue, and I do it because, as a teacher, I know personally that a GPA does not define a student, and I know that, and I think about some of the students I've had in the past who had lower GPAs, and they were brilliant. They were brilliant, but for whatever reason, whether they were economic struggles or, you know, hardships that they were having, their grades were impacted. And so I know that a GPA does not completely define who you are, and we need to understand that and support our students instead of excluding them or cutting them off.
Great. Well, thank you guys for coming in today. I really appreciate it. And thank you for the work that you've done and the work that you're going to continue to do for, you know, really sort of sparking this conversation that, mm-hmm. that was definitely very necessary. Thank you, guys.
Yes, thank you. Generation thank you Justice.
Much. I stand with the New Mexico Coalition for Equity and Justice, and I urge university, city, and state officials to remember that New Mexico is near the bottom in education and healthcare. The state is also leading in percentage of poverty per capita. Elected officials should remember that poverty is directly related to educational opportunities. You can't add additional challenges to an already struggling group of students.
Right, Paulie. A lot of people forget that the purpose of this scholarship was for access.
I stand with the New Mexico Coalition for Equity and Justice, and I urge university, city, and state officials to remember that New Mexico is near the bottom in education and healthcare. The state is also leading in percentage of poverty per capita. Elected officials should remember that poverty is directly related to educational opportunities. You can't add additional challenges to an already struggling group of students.
Right, Pauly. A lot of people forget that the purpose of this scholarship was for access. I have 5 siblings, all of which are relying upon this scholarship to get them through college. And as a coalition member, I am passionate about this.
Thank you, Virginia Necochea, Jorge Garcia, and Sonora Rodriguez, for joining us. Remember, the first annual Lottery Scholarship Advocacy Day will be Friday, February 7th, from 9:30 to 3 p.m. The press conference will be at 11 a.m. in room 303 at the State Capitol.
Members of New Mexico Coalition for Equity and Justice selected the next song. Here's Clandestino by Manu Chao.
Solo voy con mi pena, sola va mi condena. Correré mi destino para burlar la ley. Perdido en el corazón de la grande Babilón. Me dicen el clandestino por no llevar papel. Pa' una ciudad del norte yo me fui a trabajar. Mi vida la dejé entre Ceuta y Gibraltar. Soy una raya en el mar, fantasma en la ciudad. Mi vida va prohibida, dice la autoridad.
A solution for a more sustainable lottery scholarship isn't the only thing on the minds of young people. Many who attended Children and Youth Day at the New Mexico State Legislature had a lot to say about other issues in their community. Here's Jason Fuller with a report from the Children and Youth Day.
On Tuesday, January 21st, over 250 youth from across New Mexico traveled to the state capitol with members of the New Mexico Youth Alliance for Children and Youth Day to make their voices heard by our government. Youth are not only the leaders of tomorrow, but they are the leaders of today. Here's 15-year-old Dion Watson from the New Mexico Youth Alliance as he reflects upon his lessons learned at the Roundhouse.
Always talk to our legislators because they want to, and they want young people, because I sat at the floor as Susana Martinez was giving out her speech, and they want young people down there. Normally young people are scared to even go in the gallery to see people talking for them to pass bills, but they want young people to get involved in the community, and they want to see young people there. So I really took that away to simply not be scared, but to get motivated.
On a bus ride home from a long day at the state legislature, Generation Justice's very own Nadal Jawad, Ben Jabber, and Muther Jabber spoke with some outspoken young people. Here are Youth Alliance members Alondra Lozano from Deming, New Mexico.
I am with the Youth Council at Deming High School. I'm also with the Teen Dating Violence Awareness Campaign. I am president of Youth Council. We meet with the mayor once a month just to address our community issues. We also collaborate with the Youth Alliance for the Teen Dating Violence. What we do is it's a campaign where we address awareness towards the teens and our people around our community.
Kaylee Piscina from the Native American Community Academy.
I'm 15 and I go to school at Native American Community Academy, or NACA for short, and I'm involved with the New Mexico Youth Alliance.
And Keith Hinio from Daru, New Mexico.
I'm from Daru. I'm in the Daru Community Youth Board member in there. So, and for Ryan, I'm 17 years old and I'm in 11th grade in high school.
They talk about issues they see in their community, the significance of youth voice, and the actions that need to be taken.
What issues are most important to you?
A big issue in my community is teen pregnancy and teen parenting. It is a big issue in my community because since we don't have sex ed classes, there's no way mostly our teens will find out what are the consequences of having sex. And this is a big issue across the state, not just our community. I think our teens need resources just to know What are the consequences? How you can prevent them? And what are your choices? We also need ways to support our teen parents, just because once you do have a kid, you can't go back. You just need all the support you can have and just move on with your life and education. So I just think we really need to push the sex ed classes around our community, and that's a big issue for me and my community.
Issues of suicide in our communities, it's really high in deaths of youth.
My issue was to decrease the rise of diabetes by putting a fitness center in Drew.
So why is it important that young people's voices be heard at the legislative session?
Because all these young ones that have different ideas for the community.
So the decisions that the legislature make affects youth, and if they don't get our input on it, then they don't know what we want.
They play the part where they know what's going on there, and for them to give ideas to help the community out.
A huge thank you to New Mexico Youth Alliance for taking so many young people to the state capitol. This is Jason Fuller, Generation Justice. Stay safe, New Mexico.
Thank you, Alondra Lozano, Kaylee Pessina, Keith Henio, and Dion Watson for speaking with us. I think our upcoming song by Pete Seeger ties perfectly with tonight's theme and with his legacy as an activist. Here's We Shall Overcome.
We shall overcome someday.
You're listening to Generation Justice. We've been playing quite a few Pete Seeger songs.
The late activist and folk singer Pete Seeger passed away January 27, 2014, at the age of 94. He is remembered for his outspoken music, promoting equality, peace, and unity.
He used his lyrics to protest America's indifference during World War II and involvement in segregation, the Vietnam War, and environmental pollution. Many of his songs are still used today. Unfortunately, these same songs are used to protest many of the same issues some 70 years later. War, racism, pollution, and inequity.
One quote from Pete Seeger that encompasses what he stood for was this: "I love my country very dearly, and I greatly resent this implication that some of my opinions make me any less of an American."
Pete Seeger stated this before the infamous House Un-American Activities Committee in 1955 to testify about his involvement with the Communist Party.
He bravely refused to testify about his activities and associations, rebutting each question from the committee with an offer to discuss a folk song instead. He said, "I am not going to answer any questions as to my association, my philosophical or religious beliefs, or my political beliefs, or how I voted in any election, or any of these private affairs. I think these are very improper questions for any American to be asked, especially under such compulsion as this."
He was convicted on 10 accounts of contempt of Congress, which was overturned in 1962. Fortunately, he did not serve any jail time.
His popularity continued to grow throughout the 60s, as he joined the anti-Vietnam War and civil rights movements.
Many artists cite him as an inspiration, including Woody Guthrie, Bob Dylan, and Bruce Springsteen.
Now here are his songs, Dear Mr. President and Solidarity Forever.
This is the reason that I want to fight, not because everything's perfect or everything's right. No, it's just the opposite. I'm fighting because I want a better America and better laws and better homes and jobs and schools and no more Jim Crow and no more rules like you can't ride on this train because you're a Negro. You can't live here because you're a Jew. You can't work here because you're a union man.
Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever, for the union makes us strong.
Well,
blood shall run. There can be no power greater anywhere beneath the sun.
Sadly, we've come to the end of our show. We want to give thanks to everyone who made this show possible.
A huge thanks to Jorge Garcia, Virginia Necochea, and Sonora Rodriguez for the New Mexico Coalition for Equity and Justice, who are fighting against institutional racism and economic segregation.
We would like to thank Alondra Lozano, Kaylee Pacina, Keith Henio, and Dion Watson from the New Mexico Youth Alliance for telling us about what they want their elected officials to focus on this year.
We would also like to take this moment to remember and thank Pete Seeger for his activism and influential music.
This show was produced by Roberta Rael, Melissa Harris, and Rashad Mahmoud. Editing was done by Kamaria Umi, Jason Fuller, and myself, Polly Dinetclaw. And our engineer tonight is Stephen Emmons.
Now we would like to thank all of our youth media makers here at Generation Justice. Jesley Mendoza, Sarah Hans, Rain Dotson, Brittany Sosi, Ban Jabber, Munther Jabber, Victor Torres, Gada Jawald, Patrick Goff.
Raisa Ruiz Klein, Marcus Baruman, Asia Lujan, Nidal Jawad, Hannah Kaus, Marquise Calloway, Alma Olavaria Gallegos, Steven Ortiz, Beta Ugalde, and Muhammad Jabber.
Make sure to check out our website, generationjustice.org, where you can listen to all of our past shows, see our music playlist, and watch our videos. You can also see the music playlist on KUNM.org by searching for Generation Justice.
We're also active on social media, so please like us on Facebook by searching for Generation Justice. And follow us on Twitter, at Gen Justice. Tweet, tweet.
Generation Justice is funded by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, with additional funding from the McCune Foundation, and of course, all of you who have contributed to our project by visiting our website and clicking Donate.
We are now recruiting for more Generation Justice members. Are you interested in multimedia journalism? Do you want to use media to make a difference?
If so, then you should definitely check out Generation Justice. Go to our website, generationjustice.org, and download an application today.
Thank you again for listening.
I'm Jason Fuller.
And I'm Polly Dinetclaw.
Up next is Spoken Word.
See you all next week.
Deuces.
Take a trip with me in 1913 to Calumet, Michigan in the copper country. I'll take you to a place called Italian Hall, and the miners are having their big Christmas ball.
How many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever burned?